make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
I am thrilled today to have Dr. Steven Sinatra on the show. He's the best-selling author of The Great Cholesterol Myth, Reverse Heart Disease Now, and Heartbreak and Heart Disease. Dr. Sinatra is joining me today to hopefully help us understand that there has been a myth going around for about 50 years that fat and cholesterol cause heart disease. And I think we're almost at the point where the myth is dead. Dr. Sinatra, can we move on now, or is the myth still living a little bit?
You know, Larry, it still continues. It's absolutely amazing, but I was at an extended care facility the other day seeing my mother-in-law. She's 95 years old, and they had this, and she's in this facility that's nationwide. You know, in other words, there's offices, buildings, you know, through, you know, loads of cities in America, and they had this whole thing on the Cholesterol Awareness Month being September, and how fat and cholesterol are, you know, the demons of one's health. And I'm going, oh my gosh, the myth is still going on. So, you know, if they're telling folks in extended living and nursing homes and that they're into their 80s and 90s to watch out for cholesterol, I mean, what's happening to the rest of the population? But in answer to your question, I was pretty shocked that this myth is continuing to really grab hold of the country.
So why do you think the myth persists? Do you think it's that big pharmaceutical companies and big agricultural companies want this myth to stay alive because it sells their low-fat foods and it sells their statins to the entire planet?
Yeah. You know, I really think economics has a role in this. I mean, let's face it. We've created this illness in America called hypercholesterolemia. And, you know, as a physician, you know that once you create an illness, you need a solution. And all these statin drugs and all these cholesterol-lowering drugs that have come on the scene over the last 20, 30, 40 years have been used, in my mind, overzealously in people. I mean, let's face it. Certain people need their cholesterol lowered, especially if their cholesterol is oxidized, it's inflammatory, it causes inflammation in the body and inflammation of blood vessels. I mean, those people could use, you know, an anti-inflammatory like a statin. But for the vast majority of people, I'm talking about women and children and even men who don't have coronary disease who are being treated just because of high cholesterol. I mean, I just feel it's a big pharma intervention, and some people do get help. I will say that. I mean, in my practice of cardiology, when I had a middle-aged male with coronary disease who had documented disease, I found that, you know, statin drugs in this population, we had the most to gain and the least to lose. However, in just treating high cholesterols, even with women with heart disease, the elderly, children, I thought it was overprescribed, and it's really the pharmaceutical agenda. So with this topic, we get the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's no doubt about it.
Right. So it's important to touch upon the fact what you just brought up, that everybody is not the same, that these drugs are of benefit in very small subsets of people, and those are men that have a disease, not men with just high cholesterol. If you have high cholesterol and you've scanned your arteries and there is no disease present, I like to say to my patients, the best predictor of a disease is the presence of the disease.
Correct.
And they don't have a disease. They don't have a disease. And for primary prevention of heart disease, as you know, statins are not so great. And another thing you said, which is interesting, is you said the anti-inflammatory effects of the statins. Most people, I think, still believe that if they lower their cholesterol, it's the cholesterol causing the problem and not the inflammation. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Larry. That's a good point. Actually, when I did my research on earthing and grounding, I realized that men with low HDLs are at the greatest risk of heart disease, because the lower your HDL, the greater the viscosity or the greater the thickness of your blood. In other words, your blood is more like red ketchup as opposed to being more like red wine. We want our blood to be thin, so thicker red ketchup-y type blood predisposes us to coronary events, cerebral events, strokes, heart attacks, or even inflammation for that matter. So when I did the research on unearthing and grounding, and I realized what zeta potential was and how red blood cells spin in the body and how the spin of red blood cells is very important, I looked at some of the earliest statin studies, and the one that really struck an incredible chord with me, and this feeling that I really found out why statins were working the way they were working, was in the West of Scotland study, where the researchers looked at smoking men, high risk men, who were cigarette smokers, who incidentally had a lot of them had low HDLs, and the researchers, and this goes back to one of the very early studies on statins, the researchers were perplexed because in their study and in their discussion and conclusion, they indicated that these high-risk smoking men who developed coronary disease, the way statins worked was not had nothing to do with cholesterol lowering. But what they found was that the way statins were working was that they were antioxidants, they were anti-inflammatory, but more importantly, they were thinning the blood. In other words, what a statin did was it changed what we call the blood rheology, or what we call like the blood shape of a red blood cell. So the red blood cell, as it slips through the spleen, it can be navigated a little easier. It's more slippery, and basically the plasma and the blood viscosity, which means the thickness of the blood, were reduced by statins. So those researchers back in that early study, they praised statins in men now. This is a study only on men and high-risk men for coronary disease. And some men had the disease as well. What they stipulated was that statins were working in an area other than cholesterol lowering. They were working in areas that were conducive to the body, like blood thinning. So, I mean, that was incredible. So I have to say that was one of the earliest studies I read on statins, where, again, it had nothing to do with the statin's ability to lower cholesterol. So they're clearly working in another mechanism.
That's interesting that it worked in smoking men, but why not tell these smoking men, listen, why don't you quit smoking? That might be a little more beneficial than adding a drug. It's probably the most powerful thing you can do if you want to extend your life would be to quit smoking and have the 500 noxious chemicals being inhaled into your lungs 20 times a day.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about that.
So
even if you look at the recent guidelines, you know, the new cholesterol guidelines that came out last year.
Right.
One of the guidelines was, well, if you had a high-risk person over 10 years, you should use a statin. And the way I feel about that is if you have a male with a proven low HDL, and they're high risk, which means, to me, a high risk male would be like a very high stress male, one who is burning the candle at both ends, improper diet, not exercising, certainly a cigarette smoker. But in high risk men with low HDLs, I would not use it in primary prevention. However, if any of these men had positive family histories, malignant family histories, positive electron beam tomography scans, you know, the EBCT scan where they showed coronary calcium, we would have to really educate these men to get on an aggressive program of risk modification. And if they couldn't do it, I mean, the next best answer, which is not an ideal situation, would be a low dose statin, especially if you give it with a coenzyme Q10. So in those high-risk men that cannot follow a lifestyle program, again, it's aspirin for a headache, but I worry about high-risk men because those are the ones that develop sudden death. And as you know, Larry, I mean, 50% of the time, sudden death is the first symptom of heart disease.
Dr. Sinatra, I got to end this segment. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic. Don't let anyone do your thinking for you, and stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.